Sometimes I wonder, Father, am I even asking for the things that you want for me? And so I get nervous about my prayer sometimes because I really want to do His will.
It's not just kneeling on my knees and closing my eyes, but it's also speaking to God just aloud, Lord, what do you have in store for my life? What would you like me to do?
I had to confront a very difficult situation, and I didn't know what to do. I was hopeless in some ways. And I came to God in prayer, and through that prayer, I found not only hope, I found peace on my heart, and I was able to be led by God and refocus.
Welcome to Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. What is the key to knowing what God wants us to do in our lives? How do we make decisions that benefit us daily and please God? These are such hard questions at times. Today, we will share some helpful tips that can help us understand God's will. As part of our third episode on our special series on the Lord's Prayer, to learn how to pray.
And before we continue with our topic, we want to remind you that our program is not live this week. However, we are still available to pray for you and your needs. Our prayer partners are standing by to take your calls. If you're in the U.S., please dial 877-7-LETS-PRAY. And our friends outside of the U.S., you can dial 859-777-PRAY. And whatever your concern is, we are here for you.
That is true.
And before we begin our discussion, let's ask God to bless our program and all of you, wherever you may be around the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to move and analyze and contemplate the Lord's Prayer, the example that you gave us. And thank you for what you have done in the past, in previous episodes. We ask now, Lord, that you would bless us in our discussion here, that it would be rich, powerful, and life-changing for your glory and for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is the third installment of this powerful series on the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right.
Thy kingdom come, and today we are at thy will be done.
Ooh.
I should say thy will be done. Looking forward to, we have Pastor Pavel Goya back with us.
Excellent.
So praise Jesus for that.
Yes. Good stories and
excellent
good time
stories,
in the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Looking forward to it.
It's been life-changing for me listening so far. So I'm really looking forward to it, and for our family as well.
Definitely.
Sometimes God works in mysterious ways to show us His plans for our lives, as in the case of an American hairstylist who found God's will on an island in the Central Pacific Ocean. Let's watch.
I am the second grade teacher here in Ibai at Ibai SDA School. I teach all subjects for second grade.
Her house. You go where? Her house.
Ibai is a small island in the Pacific Ocean. It's part of a chain called the Marshall Islands. Ibai Seventh-day Adventist School plays an important role on the island. It educates children from preschool to grade 12. Student missionaries especially come every year to fill the empty teaching positions. Alisa was a hairstylist in the United States, but she believed God wanted something else for her life. So she began praying for direction. Someone suggested that she consider volunteering her time for God's work.
I had no idea where Ibai was, but there was an available opening, so I applied and I asked God to open the door if I was supposed to go or shut it if I was not supposed to.
Since she arrived, Alisa has grown close to her students. They frequently hug her and want to spend time with her. The bond she's formed with the people on the island has motivated her to put her best effort into her job. But there have also been major challenges to living abroad.
So some of the struggles on Ibai have been getting sick and also not getting enough nutrition just because the food is very different here. There's not a lot of fresh produce. So So my first sickness was chikungunya. It's a mosquito-borne virus. And then I got a dislocated kneecap from teaching the boys soccer. And so that was a struggle. I had to return to the U.S. When I had to return home from dislocating my kneecap, I was very angry. I felt guilty for leaving all my kids and my fellow missionaries. And I was angry at God. I blamed God for it. And I told all my family, I'm never coming back to Ibai. And then I drifted away from God a little bit. And then I prayed. I started praying. God, I need to come back to you. Tell me what to do with my life. I need my purpose. I need to know what it is. And as I prayed, God showed me that I was supposed to come back to Ibai, because in the first place, who was the one that led me to Ibai? It was God.
When Elisa's knee was better, she returned to Ibai for another year of teaching. She feels even more dedicated and closer to the students than before.
What I like about being here is being able to provide that kind of support for the children and a nurturing experience for them. And most of all is Jesus Christ, you know, telling them about Jesus and his love and showing that love to them, not just telling them, but most importantly, you know, showing it in my own life to them.
Elisa's story reminds us once again that sometimes our plans are not always God's plans. And even when things don't work out the way we want, if we ask him to take over, he will show up. He'll do something even greater than we could imagine. Joining us to tell us more about praying for God's will and to continue our study on the Lord's Prayer is Pastor Pavel Goya. He's the ministry magazine editor, and we are so blessed to have you on the show. We are so thankful for your time here. Now, as we've been working through the Lord's Prayer, we have talked about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And today we're going to be discussing thy will be done. But before we move on to that, would you mind giving us just a brief recap of what we've covered so far?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. People talk a lot about prayer, and prayer is important. But it's something to talk about prayer and believe in prayer, and something else to be about prayer and make prayer not a part of your life, but your life. To make prayer the breath of the soul. To make prayer more than water, more than food, more than job, more than life in itself. Prayer is the greatest privilege to be connected with the Creator, the God of the universe, to the point that you and God become one eventually, and God can work in your life, his plan and his will. And so therefore, we need to understand prayer and dig as deep as possible and keep digging. And so we talked about prayer, and we said that the Lord's Prayer, it's a structure to build our prayers on. It's not a formula to repeat, but it's the column, the spine that you put the prayer around. And then we said that in the prayer is like a sandwich, that it starts with praises and it ends with praises. And we said that God's name is worth to be praised. God deserves our praises, not because God likes to be praised, but first because we need to praise him. Because when we focus on our problems, we get discouraged and we have no faith to pray. But when we focus on God and what he has done, it increases, it nurtures, it feeds our faith, and then we can pray.
I really love that you say that, because a lot of times in our current culture, the Lord is depicted as some petulant narcissist who's demanding all of our praise, and it's just not the truth about who he is and his character. So I really appreciate the thought that the Lord is worthy to be praised, of course, but that he knows that our praising him is actually going to change us and feed us and help us. So even us praising him is him trying to bless us.
We have this problem that we focus on problems and keep our eyes on problems and we get discouraged and lose faith. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and focus on him and his promises and the way he has worked in the past, it reminds you that God loves you. Yes. And he has worked in the past. And every time when you were in crisis, as you look back, he did work. So it gives you courage and it increases, it develops your faith. And without faith, it's impossible even to pray, and it's impossible for God to work. So by focusing on praises, we develop faith. And so it's a sandwich. You start with praise and you end with praise. And in the middle of the sandwich, you have two parts. The first part, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. die, it focuses on God. And then give us today, forgive us, and do not lead us. It focuses on us. So we said there that we need to prioritize in our prayer. Usually people pray for self. Give me, bless me, help me, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And we need to focus first on God. Put Him first. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay to also focus on us. And then we talked about that part. That hallowed be thy name. And we talked about God's name. Not that we can hallow His name, sanctify His name, but that through our behavior, people understand God that they don't see by watching Christians. Mm-hmm. And so we should rather pray that God would help us to represent Him properly. Mm-hmm. We are an open letter. And we gave examples how people can do in a way that they represent God in the daily life. And then we talked about thy kingdom come, and we said it doesn't refer to the second coming, though we should desire and wait and have the privilege to experience the second coming. But it doesn't refer to that. It refers to God's presence into our life daily. And we said that we need His presence more than we need blessings. And I'm going to add something, because that was the last part that we did last time. Mm-hmm. People pray for a job. People pray for health. People pray for different needs. Those are real needs. But those are not the real problems.
That's the truth.
We are tempted to think that my problem is that I'm looking for a job and I don't have a job. My problem is that my car is broken. My problem is that I lost my health. Those are real needs, but they are not the real problems.
Would it be safe to say that those are the fruit of something else?
I'm going to say deeper than that. Satan doesn't need our car. Satan doesn't drive. Satan doesn't need our job. He's not going to go to work where I go to work. Satan doesn't need our spouse. He doesn't get married. But he uses those challenges to have us lose faith in God, lose connection, get discouraged, lose our faith.
To break our trust in His character.
Our real problem is when we disconnect from God and we need His presence. If we, let me put it this way. Big problems mean small God. When you have a big God, you have small problems.
Amen.
Because when you focus your eyes on God and really understand His wisdom and His love to the point that He gave His Son and His promises and His kingdom, and you understand what He is able and what He wants to do, whatever you go through, you know that He is with you. And even if you don't understand, you have peace. And you give it to Him, and you know that you can trust in Him, that He will come through. And so,
does that mean having perfect feelings the whole time you're going through that, though?
No, it doesn't mean that you enjoy whatever you go through. It doesn't mean that you don't go through challenges.
Thank you. Yeah. Can we please
but
be real about that?
But it means that we focus so much on the problem as that's my real crisis.
Right.
Our real problem is that we are not connected enough. I'm not saying that we should not care if I have cancer, God forbid.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. But the real attack from Satan is not the disease or the job or the health. The real attack is to disconnect us from God, and He is using all these means to get us discouraged.
Yeah.
And to have us lose our faith. So our real need is to always stay connected, to have God's presence, God's kingdom, God's peace in our heart continually, whatever we go through, and to say, Lord, this is my problem. But You know it. I don't need to inform You. You know my challenges. You know my life. You knew it before I was born. And You have 1,000 solutions when I don't have one. So please help me, whatever I go through, to remain connected and to trust in You. Mm. And we do present our needs, but our goal should first be a relationship and then solve our needs, not the other way around. Mm.
The next part in the Lord's Prayer is, Thy will be done. Can you, what does it mean? And actually it says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Can you just break that down?
Before you dig into Thy will be done, it says on earth as it is in heaven. No science there. But can we even imagine how it is in heaven? I'm going to give you a nonsense example. I want you to imagine God talks to an angel and says, please go and do that. And the angel would start, we don't know if we have the resources. Let's have a board meeting. Let's see how it goes. Do we have the people? What if we do that? Isn't it too expensive? Let me get retired. Let me
Thank
do it
you.
Sunday because I have a little free. Angels don't argue, don't negotiate, don't propose differently, don't say no, don't come with excuses. Angels say, yes, Lord, bang, and they jump. Mm. Even soldiers in the army don't comment. When you go to your boss and if you comment too much, something wrong can happen with your job. Mm. But for some reason, we go to the God of the universe and we negotiate and comment and procrastinate and say no and even tell God what to do and the terms. And for some reason, we become the master and he becomes the servant. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you. Mm. And I'm going to do it in faith based on your grace and wisdom and love.
Wow. I got to thank you for that.
Thank you so much for that. And I just want to push back a little bit because I hear someone saying, not that I disagree with you, but I hear someone saying, yeah, but the angels sit in the presence of God crying, holy, 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 for eternity. How, you know, they know the source. They can see.
Yeah.
When God verbally says it, they physically see him saying it to them.
Well,
what advantage the angel has over me, you know?
I agree and disagree. Let me explain why both. Angels are not robots. God gave them free will. Mm-hmm. And remember, there are angels that rebelled against God.
That's the same there.
It's not easy to obey somebody. Moreover, when you don't have his brain to know how it's going to go, you don't know the future. Mm. And sometimes, most of the times, when God would ask something, we don't understand because it's too big for our brain.
Right.
But besides that, they have free will. They do have advantages. They see how God works. And therefore, we need to focus on what God has done in the past to help us obey in the present. If we forget, it's going to be challenging. That's the reason the Bible says, do not forget any of his benefits in Psalm 103.
Yeah.
That's the reason there is a quotation that says, we have nothing to fear unless we shall forget how God has led us in the past.
Amen.
That's the reason God told Moses, write all these things and read them to your children. Because as you focus God's works and promises, it helps you understand, you know what? I can trust him.
Man, powerful. Thank you so much for that perspective.
Amen.
Amen.
I was going to say it's a conviction to my heart. The Lord is speaking to me as you are speaking, as he's speaking through you. And I feel like maybe somebody in our community is convicted as well. And I don't mean that as a point of shame. That's not the same thing. Okay. But maybe you're convicted that you would like to pray more. Maybe you're convicted that you would like to be more obedient, you know, answer like the angels do. But let us pray for you. 877-7 Let's Pray is the number to call. We're not live right now, but guys, we are here for you. There are prayer partners standing by, but let's jump right back in. Thy will be done.
Wonderful. Thy will be done. We say this so many times as a formula, as a slogan at the end of the prayer. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And so many times we don't mean it because we present our need or our will or our plan and push, push, push. Please, Lord, please work this. Please, Lord. And we keep pushing. And if it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. We lose faith. Basically, what we want our will to be done by God. When you say, thy will be done, that means that you actually surrender your will. And let me say this. It's a lot easier to go to church, to have a form of religion, to do all the forms, all the sacrifices. And God, it says Samuel, talking to King Saul, wants obedience more than sacrifices. Sacrifice was the right, the form of religion in that time. It's a lot easier to do all the religion and eat all the broccoli and keep all the rules and know all the doctrines and be a good Christian rather than fully surrender and give up control.
Mm.
We don't feel secure anymore when we have to surrender. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus had a brain. He could have made plans for himself, as we do, a lot better, and decisions. But Jesus says in John, he says, I don't do my own works. Not that he didn't or he was unable to, but I do the works of the Father. He went even farther to say, I don't speak my own words, but I speak the words that the Father gives me. Jesus would pray early in the morning and seek the Father's presence and the Father's plan for the day. And then he would obey the Father. And this is what people of prayer did in the Bible. Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Joseph, Moses, you name it. They depended on the Lord. Nehemiah, he goes to the king. And the king says, what do you want? And Nehemiah, instead of, oh, I would like this and that and that, it says in the Bible, I prayed asking the Lord what to answer. He didn't speak back, not because he was unable to give an answer. But he says, who am I to ask before I know what God wants me to ask?
Mm.
So what if every Christian instead of praying for God's blessing for a specific plan, would rather seek the plan, and instead of just speaking, would rather seek the words, and instead of acting, in every step, we would seek God's, Lord, what do you want me to do next?
I love that so much, because so often we think that we have a method and we work that method. Now, Christ has a method and has methods, but he is not a method to be worked. And so often we think we know the way, or we have a plan, or we've got this and that, and then we start to move through that and we forget that it's all meant to draw us to him. And so I love, he's kind of like the almighty thwarter. You know, he thwarts all these little methods that we use to enact things that we think are his will. And he's like, no, I'm going to wreck all of that, because what I really wanted you to do was to come to me every time. And so he tells us each time, for each individual person, speak or don't speak, pray or don't pray, move or don't move. There's so many things, but it all has to be drawn back to him. Is that? Yeah,
exactly. Remember, Israel never moved before the cloud moved, never stopped before the cloud stopped. And people struggle to trust God so much that they depend on him. They don't feel confident before they act. They don't feel secure. I don't trust anybody. Sometimes I don't trust myself. Unless I do it, it's not well done. And in fact, God doesn't want that to control us. But he knows that whatever we do, we make a mess. And he knows that he loves us to the point that he gave himself in his son. And he knows that if we obey him, we are a lot more secure. It's a lot more secure to obey God than to depend on self. But because we don't know him, we don't trust him. And therefore, we act depending on self. And think about what God says when the prophet goes to the king and says, you are not like my servant so-and-so who obeyed me. Mm-hmm. It's not that obedience would earn you salvation, but it's that through obedience, God can do for you what you cannot do for you.
Does it somehow make us a safer investment for the Lord?
Absolutely. So think about King Saul. Prophet Samuel goes to him and says, you tried to do your way. You trusted yourself. And you didn't have the patience to wait upon the Lord. And the Bible says those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength.
Yes, Jesus.
The blessing is not to act in your wisdom, is not to trust in yourself, but to trust in God more than you trust self and wait upon the Lord. And then people say, how long do I wait? How do I know when is God's time or God's will? And so we go deeper into the subject then, you know.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, I know I hear someone saying, listen, I know that now I need to surrender my will. But what is my example and what does that look like? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I surrender my will?
And that's a big word and very difficult word to understand, moreover, to leave it. Mm-hmm. Because there are extremes. People are easy to jump in left or in right, but very hard to be balanced. Mm-hmm. Some people want to do everything and just pray that God would bless their plan instead of asking for, people want God's blessing for their plan instead of God's plan for their life. So people do it all themselves, and some people never do anything. Mm. They just, let the Lord do it. Mm. I'm going to pray about it. And they are not even alive. You say, are you alive? Please do something so I know that you are alive.
Move.
Move, breathe, you know. Yeah. And so it's easy to jump in those extremes. We have a part to do, not in our salvation, but in our relationship with God. And that part should not be what we think that is our part, but should be what God says it's our part. For instance, in every example in the Bible, you pick any. For instance, Joshua. Mm-hmm. They had a part to do, but they didn't have a board meeting and planned and said, this is how we take the city. They would have never taken the city. It was God's plan, and their part was to obey. Mm-hmm. Basically, God says, walk around the city. That's a bad plan. What do you gain by walking around the city? But you're supposed to obey. Hmm. That requires faith, because when you do what God says, it's nonsense. And let me say this. I know it's a bad word, but always it's crazy. When God gives you the plan, it's crazy. When the plan makes sense, it's your brain. When the plan comes from God, it's always so big, so impossible, so nonsense that it seems like God's wisdom is foolishness for the human mind.
Praise Jesus.
For instance, God says to Gideon, too many people, send them home. To the point that he goes to 300 against a great multitude, that would be suicide.
Yeah.
And so when God gives you the plan, Noah built an ark. Why? It has never rained before. What is an ark? What do you do with it? When God gives you the plan, it's big because God is not small. Yeah. And so therefore, instead of seeking God's blessing for your plan, you need to seek God's plan. And so that makes it difficult. You need to do a part, but never what you think.
Interesting. Powerful. Interesting. It always drives us back to Him. I mean, yeah. And isn't that the purpose of all everything? Isn't that the purpose of everything we're going through? It's all to drive us to Christ.
I'm going to go a little deeper. I want to say, people think that when they do God's plan, all goes nice and smooth. When you do your plan, it seems to go good. When you do God's plan, it always goes down. It always goes crazy. For instance, God's plan for Joseph, I'm going to put you over your family. He was sold as a slave and he was put in prison. Moses' plan, you are going to deliver my people. And then he went in the wilderness 40 years. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
When God starts working, it seems that all goes down. But God is going to bring you to a point of full surrender and total obedience, because He cannot work before we surrender. And sometimes we are not willing to surrender. We want to mix our doing with God's doing. We want to have some part in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to pause right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost like we have to we have to be broken so that we are a safer investment, or we've got the right character structure in place for him to invest more. Yeah.
God cannot make you before He breaks you.
Oh, that's amen. It. And on that thought, we are. We're going to take a break, Fred.
That's right. We're so grateful for your time. Thank you so much for staying with us throughout the show. We'll continue learning about the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Goya in our next segment. In the meantime, we want to remind you that our program is not live this week, but you can still reach us. Our prayer partners are still available to pray with you. 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is the number, and our friends outside of the U.S., 859-777-PRAY. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We want to remind you that our program is not live this week, but you can still reach us. Our prayer partners are still available to pray with you now at 877-7-LET'S-PRAY. That's the number, guys. And if you're outside of the U.S., we've got one for you too, 859-777-PRAY. If you're new to our prayer family, you might have a private prayer request or a praise report as well. You can visit our online prayer room. Just go to the website, right? HopeTV.org.
That's right.
Just click on that tab that says prayer room, and you can pray for the latest requests from our community there. Once again, that's HopeTV.org/Let's Pray. Let me make sure I get that right. Right, Mario? All right, guys.
We are continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Pavel Goya, editor of Ministry Magazine. And today we're studying the section that says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thanks so much for helping us to understand what God really means in this section of the prayer, Pastor Goya. Yeah.
My privilege.
Yeah. So how can we know the will of God? We've talked about submitting to the will of God. We've dealt with some of the intricacies and understanding what it means to surrender. But how do we know what the will of God is?
Before we touch that, people say, after they say the prayer, they say, "Thy will be done." But to do somebody's will, you need to know it first, and then you can do it. For instance, no offense to anybody that is watching, but I don't understand American football. I still need to learn it. But I do understand European football, that is called soccer. That's the way I was raised. And so when they played soccer, I was in the TV. Though in my room, my mind was inside the TV watching. Yeah. Yes! Goal! Go, 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 go! And my wife would come and talk to me. And she'd say, "Would you please do this and that and that and go and buy this?" I had no clue what she said. I was like, My eyes were on the TV, so I don't lose what he does. Yeah! And my wife was talking to me. I said, "Yeah, goal!" And she says, "Are you listening to me?" Oops, sorry, honey. I didn't hear a word she said. Yeah. But she gave me a list of what to do that day. How can you say, "Thy will be done," before you listen and know God's will? Because prayer, it's a dialogue. Prayer is the breath of the soul. I've never heard or seen anybody that breathes only out. People breathe also in. Prayer, it's a dialogue, it's a conversation. All people in the Bible have been talking to God. God wants to talk to us. It's two-way communication. All over the Bible, you read in the Bible, it says, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." Abraham, Moses, all people of prayer, they talk to God. God doesn't change. God is the same. Why don't we talk to God? Moreover, it says in the Bible, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says, or he awakens my ears, not my mouth, every morning to listen, not to talk, as a disciple listens. Or I come in prayer and lay my request before thee, and then I wait expectantly. When do we do the waiting? When do we do the listening? We are in such hurry that we la 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 and go. Now, if you had a friend who'd always talk and ask, but never listen, is that a friend?
Not at all.
And so prayer should be a dialogue. Don't we think that what God has to say to us, it's a lot more important than we have to say to him? Number one. Number two, don't we think that God knows what we say before we say it? In fact, he knows it before we think it. He knows our thoughts. So our prayers are not to inform God. There is nothing we can tell him that he doesn't know. Therefore, it's crucial not only that we express not to inform him, but to, most of the time to allow him to work because God respects our free choice, but that we also listen so he can tell us things that we don't know or things that we should do or things that would help us. Therefore, prayer should be a dialogue. Therefore, before we say, may your will be done, we need to listen and to understand God's will and then do it.
Powerful. Yeah.
So say, for example, I think I've heard the Lord. How can I be sure? So I've done the listening. I've done the time with him. I'm getting to know him. I hear something. And like you said, it sounds a little crazy. How do I, is there, will he say it again? Have I missed the chance? How do I know?
So how do I distinguish God's voice? Very simple. Three ways. I'm going to explain them one by one. I don't talk to you too often. I mean, we could talk more, but so far we don't talk a lot because we didn't have an opportunity. So if you call me, I get so many phone calls a day that I'm not going to know that it's you unless you say, it is so-and-so, I'm Mario, I'm, you know. So if you call me, I say, okay, who is there, please? But my wife and I talk all the time. When I say all the time, I mean it all the time. We have no secret. We talk in the morning. We talk throughout the day. Every 1 hour we text or call each other. We talk at home about everything, absolutely everything, openly. We've been talking together since we were children. I was a small child when I started to talk to her, and we have been talking since. I know her voice. Yeah. I know her intonation. I know her pleasures. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I don't need even to ask a lot. When we get visitors, she looks to me, and I know what she wants, and I go and do it. She doesn't have to explain a lot. Mm-hmm. We know each other. I know my wife knows that I'm hungry. I'm hungry all the time. I eat every 4 hours.
Don't ask. I just yes is the answer, right?
And so my wife knows that if I don't eat, I get pain in my stomach. And so I have a fast metabolism. So my wife calls me and says, how are you, honey? I'm doing good. You doing good. Hey, I love you. I love you too. Did you eat today? No, I was busy. I have a lot of work. Honey, get a sandwich. Okay. Hey, do it. Okay. She calls me 5 minutes later. Did you get a sandwich? No. Please do it. I'm going to call you again. Okay. She calls me 5 minutes. Did you get? Yes, I did. Good for you. I love you. I love you. Bye. 4 hours later, she calls me again. How are you doing? Go get a sandwich. Okay. Did you get it? Yes. I love you. I love you. Later, I'm driving home. I go between mountains. I lose signal. My wife calls. Honey, doing sandwich. Love you. How do I know this is my wife?
Yeah, you know her voice.
I know her voice.
Yes.
I know the message. Basically.
I know the message.
How can you know God's voice unless you talk to him a lot? We want to know God's voice when we have a need, but you don't want to spend time to talk to him all the time. In order to know God's voice, you need to make it a habit to talk to him not only in need, but to pray without ceasing, not to ask without ceasing, but to be connected with God continually. Number one, you need to have a relationship that is not only in need or only routine. Prayer in the morning, prayer at meals, prayer in the evening. But to learn to walk with him. And he walks with me and he talks. To learn to walk with him and to talk with him at every step, small or big. Number one. Number two, you check the voice with God's word because God is consistent. We change. God doesn't change. He's the same. So whatever God says, it could be that you ate too much pizza. It's your brain. It could be the evil one talking to you. It could be a neighbor. You check with the word. And unless it's consistent with God's word, you don't obey. Mm-hmm. Sure, there are situations when it's something that is not related to the word, and we'll get there eventually. But number three, in all you do, and this is something that people don't understand. What if I still don't understand God's will? God is not frustrated, upset, hurt when we don't understand. Mm. God doesn't take it against us for the things that we don't know and we don't get.
Mm. Yeah.
But with things that we know, however, we want our way. We want to push him to do our way because we don't like what. It's too much sacrifice, too much. So the point is not so much if I understand. God is so patient that he will tell us again and again until we get it. But rather, when you understand, are you willing to obey in faith?
Yeah. Mm. Wow. So
so much there. I love that you said not just that you know his voice, but we know the message. Yeah. I remember my mother saying to me, now, Susan, whose voice does that sound like? I'd say, Mom, I'm feeling like this, or I was thinking about this, and I just really, and she'd go, now, whose voice does that sound like? Does that sound like the Father, Susan? And it's like, oh, thank you, Mom, because we get in this place. And like you said, it could be the enemy's voice. It could be our own, you know, the flesh. We do have the flesh. I just really appreciate that you said that.
I'm going to add something there. How do you get to know God in order to know his voice? Unless you spend time in prayer and you spend time in the word, you cannot know God. Because in the word, as you study God's word, you see consistently how he works through the life of the people of faith. And as you study again and again and again, you start to understand a little of God. So you really need to spend time in prayer and spend time in the word. Mm-hmm. Not only expect God to answer to your needs.
Amen. Yeah. So you said you need to spend time in prayer. Can you briefly just kind of explain how can we, in a practical way, pray for God's will?
Before we get there, to spend time in prayer and then for God's will, what does it mean to spend time in prayer? It means that we don't go to prayer only to do routine prayer, duty, or only to ask for needs. But we spend time in prayer to know God, as we talked last time, because to know God is more important than to solve our problems. Because to know God is not what you do. I'm sorry, eternal life is not what you do, but it's who you know. Eternal life, John 17, is to know God, to have a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not didaskalo, the Greek word, mental knowledge, intellectual knowledge. It's genosko, that means relational knowledge. You get to know him. You get to get close. By the way, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. The word be still is Rafa. That means not to be quiet, but it means don't be anxious. Don't try to solve your problems. God says, when you come in my presence, why do you always try to solve problems? Don't I know your problems and I do care for you. Remember.
Yeah.
And know. Be still and know. Know is the word yada. That means what God told Adam and Eve to sleep together and have babies. Yada means have an intimate relationship with me. So God says, when you come in my presence, stop in the beginning trying to solve all your crises. Try to know me first. It's in your benefit. You try to solve problems and you never do. But if you get to know me and have a relationship, that's the biggest problem that you have.
Yeah.
And that will take care of the others.
Jesus, it's so powerful.
So how do you know God's will? Let's move a little in that direction. Praying for God's will. Praying for God's will. We drive. My wife and I were coming from Tennessee, driving to Wisconsin. That's 11-hour drive trip. Mm-hmm. And we were driving on Highway 57 through Mount Vernon town. Mm-hmm. As we were driving to Mount Vernon, instead of listening to music or to news or just talking, we were praying, Lord, we'd like you to talk to us. We'd like you to be present in our life today. Don't let us disconnect. We'd like to be used. We make ourselves available to you. If you have somebody in need, help us be a blessing. Use us today. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Make us a blessing. We want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Show us what to do and we'll be happy to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so we are praying and discussing with God and then talking to each other and then praying again and then talking to each other and then listening to some Bible verses and then talking and then praying. We are trying to spend the time with God.
Yeah.
After 5 hours of this type of driving, I was just driving and praying in my mind, and my telephone starts ringing. Mm-hmm. So I pick up the telephone and look to the number. And I said to my wife, so-and-so is calling. And my wife rolled her head and says, do not answer. Why? He's one of my best friends. But that guy can talk more than I can talk. That guy can kill you talking. He talks a lot. I mean, he goes on solar power. He never drains his batteries. He can talk. The last time when he visited, he talked until 2 a.m. I mean, I was like, you know, and he was still talking. And so my wife says, if you respond for the rest of several hours home, he's going to talk until your battery is going to drain and he will not stop talking. I said, you are right. So I didn't answer the phone. And then I kept praying, Lord, what is your will? How can you be useful today? And God said in my mind, I already answered and you refused to answer your phone. Mm. So I said, Lord, if you called, please call again.
Yeah.
So the phone starts ringing again second time, the same guy. So I told my wife, we need to answer. God impressed me that this is an answer to prayer. We need to answer.
Yes, Jesus.
So I answered the phone, and my friend says, hey, please pray for me. I said, okay, what do you want me to pray for? He says, well, it was snow. It's snow for 3 days. There were cars in the ditch. We had the Toyota Sienna all-wheel drive, so we were still fine, not fast, but driving. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going in mission trip to Cuba. Mm. My car is broken, and the bus didn't come because of the snow. I'm losing my plane. Pray for me. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, man, where do you live? I know you live in this area. I don't remember where. He says, Mount Vernon, exit 109. As I am talking to him, going through Mount Vernon, I see exit 109. I'm getting close. So as I am talking to him, I get on the exit. I said, I am on the exit. He says, you are not in Wisconsin? I said, no. Where are you? I'm on the exit 109. He says, what are you doing here? 5 hours south from
Jesus
your house.
Jesus is what I'm doing here.
5-6 hours south from your house. I said, I am coming from Tennessee, going home. He says, that's a miracle. I said, yes, tell me the address. I need to turn left or right. He says, take a left. Anyway, he got me to his place. I got him in the car. We drove straight to Chicago to the airport. He got there half an hour before or 1 hour. I don't remember. He caught the plane. He went in mission trip. God does talk if we are willing to listen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. That is so powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, God does amazing things. And it's like we think that sometimes this stuff is just from the Bible text. But he really does move present day. The word is real. Jesus is real. And his power is real.
I was driving to a board meeting. And I was praying, Lord, use me today, please. And God doesn't talk when you ask. You are not the master to tell him, God talk. And he, okay. Mm-hmm. God talks when he wants. And God doesn't talk as we sometimes talk for the sake of talking. Yeah. God talks when he has something to say. And so some people say, I prayed and God didn't talk. God doesn't talk when you ask him to talk. So you better keep waiting and listening. So when he talks, you hear. So I am praying, but I am not expecting him to talk. Because I was praying for the last week and he didn't talk. As I am driving to a board meeting Thursday night, my wife calls me and says, honey, Gucci is sick. Gucci is our puppy. It's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Beautiful dog. We love him. Oh, he's so spoiled. He sleeps around my head like a crown on my pillow. And my wife says, he started to vomit blood.
Oh, no.
I said, oh, no. I said, right now? She said, yes. So I called my head elder and say, please have the board meeting without me. I have an emergency. I have to turn around. I turn my car around, go home, pick up the puppy, run to the vet. Mm-hmm. I go to the vet. I tell them what's going on. They take care of the puppy, and they say, why are you in a suit and a tie? Because I go to a board meeting. What do you work? I'm a pastor. Oh, good. We are talking about something. What happens to people? What happens to animals when they die? Do they go to heaven or they go to hell? And I say, well, neither. Let me explain what the Bible says. And I study with them what happens. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say? They said, oh, we are so glad you came because you're debating this for the last 2 hours. Next day, I come with the puppy back. So they check the progress of the puppy. And they say, well, you talked about the second coming, about the resurrection. How is the second coming going to be? So I give them a Bible study on the second coming. And they say, would you come again next week because you have more questions? So I went there for several weeks and they asked all the questions. The puppy was just fine after the second day. But in my mind, God can turn anything into a blessing. Yeah. God used that opportunity because those people were having questions. And God wanted somebody to answer those questions because nothing happens by chance, but all things work together. And so I said, Lord, use me. That's how you know God's will. You continually pray, you continually listen, and you are continually willing to give up your plans, your board meeting, your going home, and then drive to Chicago. You are willing to obey when God talks to you.
I think it's so important, too, because the board meeting's important. Those are good things for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord's plan is what He wants us to do, and even though we don't understand why is it so important for us to accept His will when we don't understand why? Because to me, I'd be like, Lord, okay, sweetheart, take the dog to the vet because I've got a board meeting to go to. That would have been my response. Mm-hmm. But you decided to follow the Lord. How do you know to do that? Can you accept His will or His divine detours sometimes? It's just hard to trust.
And I want to say, very important, when it makes a lot of sense, usually it's our planning and logics, and we should not trust. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in men. We should not trust our wisdom above God's wisdom.
Mm.
And so when God talks, most of the time we don't understand. But we need to trust in Him. How do you trust in Him? You cannot trust in a stranger. You need to know somebody for a long time to trust somebody. When you know somebody, you know what to expect. Therefore, our real need is not so much to hear the voice of God as much as to know Him. Because the more relationship we have, the more we know Him, the more we understand His voice and the more we trust, even when we don't understand. Because faith is not what you understand. It's who you know.
I can't help but wonder, is God okay if it takes us some time to trust Him? I really feel like the struggles that He's put me through when I didn't have the right reactions and I didn't necessarily trust His character in this specific area, the whole thing was kind of engineered so that trust could maybe move into my heart from my head.
God is not like us. We are tempted to judge God through our mindset and perspective and habits. God is long-suffering. God is love. God is patient. God is kind. Basically, think about a father and a baby. The baby is 5, 6, 7, 8 months old. And the baby is learning to walk. Gets up and falls. Is the father getting angry? Why did you fall again? Mm-hmm. This is the fifth time you fall. The father smiles, gives the baby a hug, kisses the baby, and helps him by the hand. That's the way God behaves with us. We fall, we get discouraged with ourselves. God patiently works with us. He takes us from wherever we are, and He doesn't see the fall as, hey, you failed again.
Right.
He sees the fall as, hey, you are in the process of learning.
Good job. And get so, back up.
Exactly. That's the reason the Bible says the righteous falls 7 times and he gets up again. Because God, in His patience, He's working with us, taking from wherever we are impatiently. We have no patience with self. God has patience with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should always not focus on our failings, but focus on God.
Powerful. Amen. That Powerful. Is so. We're gonna take a brief pause right there from our interview with Pastor Pavel Goya. We're going to encourage you guys, give us a call. The program is not live right now, but you can still reach us, guys. Prayer partners are standing by. You've heard us say it before. And if this is your first time, please know there are people that are there to pray for you. 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is the number. And the friends outside of the U.S., 859-777-PRAY. We're going to go to a break. We'll see you in just a sec.
Welcome back to Let's Pray. We are not live today, but if you are in need of prayer, we can help. Our prayer partners are standing by to take your calls. 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is that number.
Amen. So before our break, we were talking with Pastor Goya about the meaning of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you again for being with us. I just want to jump right in. I know there's some folks maybe in our community that are thinking, yeah, okay, so I'm asking for His will, I'm praying, I'm doing all these things, but what if there's no answer? Am I doing something wrong? What's going on in that place?
God answers honest prayers, but not always the way we want, in the time we want.
Mm.
If we knew the end from the beginning, if we would see the whole picture, if we would consider not only our momentary need, but our eternal life, most of the times we would answer our own prayers differently if we could see what God sees. Number one. Number two, there are some times when, again, as I said before, we don't understand why things happen, and I cannot explain it. Mm-hmm. But it is essential that we learn to wait upon the Lord. People have no patience. They say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Basically, people want an answer right away.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, many times when God doesn't answer, that's an answer. It means that you need to wait. And I would rather pray and say, Lord, this is my need. However, please do the way you want, because I trust in you and I know you know better than me. And help me understand and don't let me mess it up. Mm. Basically, we have a tendency to intervene and mess it up.
So you're saying if we don't hear him answer right away, we think, okay, well, then I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. And like Abraham, God promised him a son. Abraham didn't see an answer for a while. And so he did try to help God. God doesn't need your help. When we do that, we make a mess and we pay for it eventually. And so if Abraham would have waited upon the Lord, it would have been a lot better. And so many times in the Bible, we see the same story again and again in other lives. And so what I'm trying to say is that those who wait upon the Lord, they get the blessing. Now, that requires a lot of faith, because sometimes God wants us to wait for the proper time because God is working with people, circumstances, and so on. And sometimes he wants us to wait because we are not ready for it. It's too big for us to understand. We need to be trained for what is going to happen next. Or sometimes God wants us to wait because he says, you know, not only that you need to grow, but I have to work with other people, like in Daniel's case, the kings of Medes and Persians. And God doesn't force them. He has to work with them so they are ready. And so many times God says, either way, you can do it and I will be with you. Basically, the key is not so much to understand what he wants you to do, but to be willing when you understand to do it. Mm-hmm. People want to know what is his will instead of saying, help me obey it. Whenever you make it clear, help me be willing to trust you and obey.
Mm. Amen. And to reveal to us maybe the areas where we aren't being obedient to his will. I love how Jesus is always so much more kind and merciful and loving. Even when he shows us the things that we aren't doing in accordance to him, he's just so much nicer to us than we are to ourselves or other people can be to us. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. And I want to mention one more thing. People say, I didn't feel that God answered. God is not based on our feelings, our moods, our chemistry. God is love, regardless how we feel. He works based on his character and his covenant, not based on our feelings or performance.
Amen. Amen. So you mean if I don't do it right, it's not going to hinder God's plan for my life? If I don't perform perfectly, then God's not God
anymore?
We can
ruin God's plan if we choose to go against God. Mm-hmm. But if we do a mistake, God understands, forgives, and keeps working. It's just that we need to continue and say, Lord, help me. Make me willing. Help me learn to trust you. And so he works with us patiently as long as we give him permission and keep asking.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? When we don't trust him, all we have to do is tell him and say, Father, you know what? I don't trust you here. So maybe, could you help me trust you? And then eventually maybe I can have better reactions or responses or more obedience.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So could we please pray for you and your ministry and then for our community?
That's right.
We'd really like to pray for all of you wherever you are. Maybe you're struggling through this very thing about being obedient to his will and trusting him that his will is good and that he is a good, good father. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just this time, Lord, where we get to think about you and talk about you. And we're just so grateful for Pastor Goya Jesus and the time that he has taken to remind us or teach us for the very first time that you are so good and that you are gentle and long-suffering and kind and that, Lord, you do want us to be obedient. But you also, Father, you help us to learn how to do that. It's not just this immediate demand, Father. I love that you are that way. And so, Father, please be with Pastor Goya and his ministry and the things that you are working and doing in his and his wife's lives, Father. And also, Father, that you are there with our community as well, Jesus. Please protect them and keep them and help us all to be obedient to your will, trusting that you are good and that you are sovereign. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks for being with us today. We hope you join us next week as we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer.
We'll see you next time on Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. Mm-hmm.